For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, for more on Saquon, the defense, the Eagles, Hurts' performance, the whole deal, let's turn to the Ditty. Ray Dittinger joins us each Monday at this time. He's brought to us by Verizon. Phones were not made to be broken, but life, of course, does happen. So when your phone breaks, Verizon's got you. Trade in any phone at your local Verizon store in any condition, guaranteed, and you'll get a great deal on one of their best 5G phones with unlimited ultimate. The Ditty, Ray Dittinger. Ray Ditty, how are you, sir?
I'm doing good, Joe. How are you doing?
Boy, Ray, so much better. How great was it, Ray, with 2 minutes left in the game, to not feel like if my squad pulls it out, I still got to take a shower because it was dirty. Like, they actually, Ray, got a clean win. It was fantastic.
It was. It's been a long time. I mean, that's you got to go back a couple of years to find a game that they won that handily. But they did, and it was welcome, and it was needed. And you know, right now, you know, you're in a funny place with this team because, you know, yesterday they looked so good in so many ways. But it wasn't all that long ago that, you know, they went down to Tampa and looked terrible. So, you know, where are they? I think this week will give us a good test. I mean, they have to go to Cincinnati and play the Bengals, who, you look at their record, doesn't look that great. But you look at their personnel, and they're pretty good. And, you know, the Bengals have done this year kind of what they've done in recent years, which is get off to a slow start. But we've seen in the past that they tend to, once they figure it out, then they get on a roll, and they're starting to get on a roll now, and they can't afford to lose many more games. So, you know, you're going to be catching them sort of on the uptick, and they have a great young quarterback in Joe Burrow, and you know, that's going to be a challenge. But if the Eagles go out and they play the way they played yesterday, and Cincinnati, if their biggest weakness really is their run defense. So I would suspect that they're going to get a big dose of Saquon Barkley.
Sure.
If he's anything like he was yesterday, that's good news for the Eagles.
Ray, let's talk a little more on Saquon there. So I don't know if you saw Van Buren play. Obviously, if you did, you would have been very young. I am curious.
Film. Okay. I saw the film.
So Saquon obviously does not have the career accomplishment as an Eagle, as some legendary Eagles backs. But I am curious, is Saquon you saw Wilbert, Ricky, LeSean, B. West, is Saquon the best running back you've seen the Eagles have?
I think he's different than any other back I've seen them have. I've seen them have fast, elusive guys, and certainly LeSean was that. I've seen them have hard-nosed, tough between the tackles runners. Like, you know, I mean, you'll never find anybody pound for pound tougher than Wilbert Montgomery. You know, and Ricky was a little bit of both. But I've never seen an Eagles back that combines the speed and the power of this guy. I mean, you look at what he did yesterday. And look, I'm not going to try and sit here and make a case that the Giants were a great defense, because clearly they're not.
Right.
But what you saw yesterday was you saw a guy that ripped off three runs of longer than 35 yards. How often does any back in the NFL do that in one game anymore? It doesn't happen, really. So he does that. But also, you know, maybe the equally impressive is the touchdown he scored, you know, where he takes the handoff and he runs up the middle, and he's hit at the three-yard line. I mean, he runs into a wall at the three-yard line, and he just keeps his legs driving, and he pushes four New York Giants and half of his own offensive line into the end zone for a touchdown. So a guy that can run the way he ran and turn the corner and go 55 yards the way he did, and then combine it with that kind of, you know, Jim Brown power down at the goal line, that's a combination I haven't seen in an Eagles uniform. Now, to say, is he the best yet? I don't know. But he's certainly a unique weapon. And I remember talking to you guys after he signed and saying to you, I was a little bit puzzled by the muted reaction in Philadelphia to it. That people, you know, some people were excited, But I heard just as many people say, oh, geez, we're paying all this money to this guy.
I was one of them. I was one of them, Ray.
Yeah, and yeah. I know you're a little skeptical, and people are saying, oh, he's, you know, I've seen him the last couple of years. I'm not sure. I think he's lost it, and we're paying him all this money. And I didn't, Joe, believe it, and I told you that at the time. I said, I think this guy's going to come in here, and I think he's going to have a big-time impact, and I think he's going to have it right away. Because I just, you know, I looked at the film, and I just saw what he was trying to run behind in New York, especially the last couple of years. That was a terrible offensive line. I mean, maybe the worst in the league. And yet he never complained. He was a total pro about it, and he got everything there was to get and then some. And I just had the feeling that at this point in his career, you know, now with definitely something to prove with the Giants letting him walk away, I thought he was walking into the perfect situation here. So the fact that he's come out and done what he's done so far, look, he exceeded my expectations, but I got to tell you, my expectations were already pretty high.
Ray, why is the offense, for all the running that we did, and that was great to see, why is the offense still not under center?
It's gotten to the point now that when I'm doing my game in-game log on my yellow legal tablets, when I'm logging every play, I actually put an asterisk when Hurts is under center because I want to chart it. I want to see how many times it's
how
he's
many
there.
Did you get yesterday?
Now I got to tell you, at a certain point I stopped with the game.
Once you got past
halftime, there really wasn't much of a game.
There were only four pass plays in the second half.
Yeah,
but
yeah,
I think exactly. I think I only had three in the first half.
Wow,
and. But to me, the way this team, with the personnel you have and the ability that you have in Barkley, the weapon you have in Barkley, I would like to see Hurts under center more. To me, it just makes all the sense in the world because of the threat that he represents. The play action pass is there. I mean, it's any time you want it. It is there, and it's just an easier thing to execute if you have the quarterback under center. And I just think that that's something that, you know, I mean, institutionally, I guess, I don't think Sirianni loves it. If you look back at Kellen Moore back his time in Dallas, they didn't have quarterback under center very much. It's just a philosophy of the guys who are calling the plays. But to me, I think from year to year, given the situation and given your personnel, you know, maybe you need to take a harder look at this kind of thing. And I just think that, yeah, I'm not saying that they go to it exclusively, but I think they could go to it more because I think first of all, I think it helps the running back. I think it's an easier formation to him because he's taking the ball on the move; he's not taking it flat-footed. But the other part is it really beautifully sets up the play-action pass, and when you have a weapon down the field like A.J. Brown, I think that's something that you could really have great success with.
Ray, what I'm not exactly sure how to describe it, like. The idea of extending the ball, I don't know if that's what is so effective about being under center or not. I don't know the idea of a quarterback starting under center and then faking a stretch play where he's holding the ball out, where a defense can see him holding the ball out as he's running to place the ball, you know, in that back's gut as he's running off tackle. That's the one that I want. Am I wrong in like hoping that we can get to that point? Like that, we saw that with Donovan a lot.
We saw that with Russell Wilson with Marshawn Lynch a lot, and it's just not something they do often, Ray. Look, obviously. I think it's clear Jalen doesn't like being under center, and I think that's why they don't do it. Ray, let me ask you this question. I've given you...
But hold on. Ray, is that really an explanation? Like, Jalen doesn't like being under center? Is that why the offense
could
isn't?
Could be. I mean, Mike Holmgren, who's probably going to be in the next... He's probably going to be in the next Hall of Fame class. I mean, a great coach, a couple different situations. He was just wedded to that West Coast offense thing in such a way that he just didn't believe in a shotgun. It was something that he, you know, when he was in San Francisco, you know, Bill Walsh didn't believe in it. It wasn't part of what he did. I mean, the quarterback was always under center there. And then when Holmgren went to Green Bay, you know, he gets Brett Favre, and Brett Favre likes being in the gun. And so he just said, okay, well, quarterback likes playing out of here, and we've certainly had success with it, so we'll go with that. Sometimes you do bend your system and your philosophy to the wants of a player if that player is your quarterback. Maybe that is it, but I just think that, well, two things. I think there's a lot of validity to that. I think the way this team sets up right now with its personnel, I think they're very dangerous with the quarterback under center. I really do. And again, if I don't know Jalen's personal preferences, I've never asked him about that. Maybe he doesn't like being under center. He certainly hasn't been that much in his career. But there's certainly value to that, and it's a look that you can go to and be very effective with it. And I think can set up two of your best players. I think it's a great formation to run out of if you're Barkley, and it sets up the play action pass, which gets you some one on ones with AJ Brown down the field, and he's going to win those all day long.
Yep.
So that's sort of how I look at it. But yesterday, I mean, one of the things that came out of it, beyond all the statistics and all the stuff that Barkley did, which was great, I thought the running game was very diverse. I thought that they did a lot of different things that, unless people were really watching closely, they didn't see it. I mean, there was a lot of pitch stuff. There was a lot of stretch stuff. There was a lot of inside zone, outside zone. I mean, their running game was really in charge.
Varied.
And it wasn't just, okay, here's the ball, Saquon, just go. I mean, they gave the Giants a lot of different looks, and they have a running back in Barkley that has tremendous ability to find the daylight and, you know, and do that quick step cut kind of thing. That's just very uncommon to see a 235-pound man that can do the things he can do.
Yeah. Ray Dininger with us here, as he is every Monday at this time. By the way, it's 94 WIP HD1 Philadelphia as we broadcast today from the Tasty Cake Studio. Great to be with you on this Monday morning with an Eagles victory in hand, 4-2 now. Ray, let's talk about the defense. Six games into the season, there have been three games in which the performance has been exceptional. Two were against horrendous offenses. Is the defense good?
Good question, because I was asking myself the same thing. I mean, you've gone 2 weeks now not giving up a touchdown. That's hard to do in the NFL, regardless of who you're playing. You know, I think one of the things that you have to factor into this is that it's a new defensive coordinator in Vic, and it's going to take a little time for everything to kind of fall into place. But we've seen now that they can be very effective. Now, last week with Cleveland, it's hard to judge because Cleveland's offense is that bad and their quarterback's playing that badly. And, you know, the Giants are not a good offensive team anyway, and you take Andrew Thomas out of there at left tackle and they become worse. So it's hard to take yesterday and just project and say, well, they're here. You know, this is a top five defense for sure. I'm not ready to go there yet. And I think that's one of the reasons why I think this next test, going to Cincinnati next Sunday, will be a good one. Because, you know, the Bengals are kind of doing what the Bengals have done before, which is start the season slow. And now they're starting to win some games, and you're going there and you've got some really good offensive players and a great young quarterback. So I think that's going to be a bigger test. But yeah, I think you're seeing Vic's philosophy. I think Vic has kind of figured out, maybe this is the best way of putting it, I think Vic has now kind of figured out what his guys can do. You know, and I think he's done a better job of putting them in positions where they can do the things that they can do. And, you know, N'Kobe Dean, to me, has always been a guy that could have been a really good blitzer. I never understood why they didn't use him that way more. I mean, he's got the kind of explosiveness, and he's got the kind of instincts to be able to find that crack and get to the quarterback. His timing is really good. He showed you that in college. I just think they underutilized that the last couple of years. I know the injuries were part of it. But now you're seeing that Vic has got some confidence in being able to shoot the gap with Dean from time to time, and he can be very effective there. And I think it's starting to come together. One of the things that really helps is the play of the two young guys is really good.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, Mitchell and DeGene are – and, you know, I remember talking to you guys during the draft about how happy I was that the Eagles got those two guys, because that was their biggest area of need, was they needed players in the secondary desperately. And I thought they got the two best on the board. I really did.
Wow.
I thought that Mitchell and DeGene, in my grading system, such as it is, they were defensive backs 1-2 for me. And to be able to come out of the draft with both of them, I thought was tremendous for this team, and you're starting to see it. I mean, you're seeing that Mitchell can really play. I mean, he can really cover and he can really hit. I mean, he's a big guy who's physical, but he can run with anybody, and he doesn't never backs off from a challenge. So I think you've got that spot nailed down now for a while. And DeGene is just a very useful player that can do multiple things. And
yeah.
I think you're seeing that Vic is now that he's healthy and he's over the hamstring, you know, Vic is going to be able to use him more in a lot of different ways, and you can do that. So I think the back end of this defense, to me, as those young guys grow, is only going to get better.
What is Cooper DeGene best at, Ray? And how do you expect Sidney Brown fits into to all this?
Well, Sidney's just coming off the injury, so I don't know how ready he is to take on a bigger load. But I could certainly, you know, DeGene to me, when they drafted him, my thought was that he was going to be one of your two safeties. That he was going to be, it was going to be him and I thought that he and Sidney Brown were going to be your two safeties. And then they bring back Gardner Johnson, and okay, that changes things. And Blankenship is still here and playing okay, so I don't know if they want to break that up.
You sound enthusiastic.
He has a nice quality of being around the football, which is a good thing. But DeGene, to me, I think he's a natural safety. I really do. I think he has Hamilton-like ability. I think he could be that kind of player. He's that smart. He's that tough. He's that physical, and I think he can be that kind of player. But he also looks to me like a guy that can play in the slot, you know. And it seems like that's what they've kind of got. Kind of what they got carved out for him right now, and he's doing it really well. But if he plays in the slot, he can play in there. He can cover. He can make all the plays in coverage. But if he's close to the line of scrimmage like that, you know, Vic can use him as a blitzer. You know, he can slot blitz him, and he's good enough at that that he can be an extra pass rusher for you in certain situations. So, you know, I think that Mitchell is just an anchor at the one cornerback spot. I think he's got that spot nailed down, and you're fine there. DeGene right now is a guy that I think you can use in multiple ways, and whatever you ask him to do, he can do it because I think he's just that good.
Ray Dittinger here, a couple extended minutes with Ray right now, then the phones shortly. Ray, let's talk about Jalen. I'm curious what you made of his performance. I'll say this. I was generally underwhelmed by it. I thought he had two phenomenal plays, the deep ball to to AJ, and the run where he escaped the pocket and really escaped major pressure and made a nice run. Otherwise, I didn't think he was very good. What'd you think of Jalen?
I thought he was good. I the numbers are certainly underwhelming. I mean, 10 completions, 114 yards. But it's two straight weeks now he hasn't turned the ball over, which was the biggest issue with him. And he hasn't done that. And I'll tell you, you can't throw a ball better than he threw the 41-yarder to Brown.
Beautiful.
I mean, that was a sweet, sweet pass, especially with a rush right in his face. Not being able to fully step into that throw.
Yeah.
And yet drop it in the bucket the way he did was really impressive. And you're right, the one where he breaks out of the pocket and runs for the first down was good. I just thought, yeah, Joe, I kind of know what you're saying, but I felt good about it. I just felt that going through another week and not turning the ball over and just seeing him look like he was in command out there and kind of enjoying what was happening out there. That was kind of the way I felt about it. I mean, you kind of needed to get him to this point where he could put a couple of good games back-to-back. And,
sure.
You know, I really do think that I'm sort of old school in this way. I don't worry so much about the numbers that a guy puts up on the board if you're at the quarterback position. At the end of the day, it's about winning the game and doing what you had to do to help your team win the game. And he certainly did that. So, you know, I felt pretty good about it. The one thing that scared me was the one run that he had where he took the big hit on his right
shoulder down.
Goal line.
Well, he got the first down.
But that's
he might have gotten himself knocked up for the season if he keeps doing that, though.
Yeah, that was a shot.
Well, listen, when he exactly right. I mean, that's what I'm looking at that. And when he takes that hit at the goal line, I'm thinking, oh boy, You know, are we going? Are we? Is this going to be one of those things that now he's going to get up slow and he's going to be wiggling his arm and then they're going to take him to the tent?
He's not made out of glass. He's fine.
You know, in a game, in a game that you clearly had in hand. I understand the competitive instinct. I understand you see the opening, you see the goal line, you go for it. But that, in that kind of a game that you had so clearly in hand, I mean, that one made my heart flutter a little bit, and I hope that. You know, I would like it to see him not take those hits going forward.
All right, Ray, final thing here.
We got to ask him, though, about your whole point that they're hiding.
Sure. So, Ray, here's my contention. I believe that what we saw yesterday is the beginning of the Eagles coaching staff hiding Jalen Hurts. That it wasn't just, hey, we can run the ball on the New York Giants. It's, hey, we can typically run the ball pretty effectively. And Jalen is one of the weaker elements of the offense. Let's hide him a bit. And just become like the 2021 team was, like the 1995 Eagles team did as they transitioned to Ricky Wooders and Charlie Gardner after week four and just said, we're just going to run the ball a ton because that way we were less inclined to turn it over and win more games. And I applaud that, but I don't like what it says about Jalen. That's what I think is occurring. Do you buy that theory?
No, I don't. I just think that... I think we talked earlier in the conversation now about the defense kind of evolving with Vic Fangio, with new coach, new sort of philosophy, some new personnel, just sort of figuring out what we are and what we can do. I think you probably got a little bit of the same thing on the offensive side, and Barkley changes the dynamic very much. I mean, you're a very different team with him in there. I mean, they've had some good backs over the last couple of years. It's not like they haven't had anybody that can run the ball, but they haven't had anybody like this. And I think almost week to week, they're just figuring out exactly what this guy is, what he's capable of, and what that means for the whole offense, and more specifically, what it means for the quarterback. And if it means you're asking him to do less, that isn't necessarily a bad thing.
No, it's a good thing, but I just wish he was better. But it's a good thing if it's what the situation requires.
Well, sure, and I think that situation changes pretty much week to week based on your opponent, based on how the game plays out and stuff. But listen, this organization has seen what Hurts is capable of. You've seen the way he played 2 years ago. You've seen his level of ability. You also see the other playmakers that you have on the field. And, with Brown and Smith, you have two just tremendous receivers. I mean, as good a pair of receivers, I think, as there are in the league. You know, that's always going to be a part of your game. But I think what you're trying to do now is you're trying to shape what this thing can be, not in individual elements, but what it can be as a whole. And I think yesterday what you kind of saw was a lot of that offensive stuff come together. Again, you have to qualify it by saying who you're playing against.
Sure.
And the Giants,
yeah.
Going into this, we knew, the Giants were giving up over 5 yards a carry. They were 30th in the league average yards per attempt. I mean, that's a bad defense. Barkley and a highly motivated Saquon Barkley figured to have a big game up there.
Yeah.
But it went way beyond that. And so, no, I think that, Joe, I kind of know what you're saying, but I didn't really have those feelings. I think this team is still in the process of figuring out just what it is. I think this week will give us a better idea. But they desperately, desperately needed a game like this,
mm-hmm.
where they were just in command, where they were clearly better, where it was over, early in the third quarter, and you could just kind of sit back and just kind of relax.
Totally.
It's been 2 years since they had a game like this. They desperately needed it. It was the right time for it. And let's now see if this truly gets the train back on the track.
All right, Ray, final thing. So it's been a month and a half of pro football this year. We know whose record's better, but I'm going to ask you whose team is better. Philadelphia or Washington? The Eagles or Washington? Who has a better football team?
I've actually gone back and taken a look at Washington just to try and figure out how real they are. And I'm coming to the conclusion that they're pretty real.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think this is an illusion. I don't think this is sort of a little spurt that's going to level off. I think this division, we haven't said this in a long time. I think this division, it's going to come down to Philadelphia, Washington. You saw the Giants. They're gone. They're dead. Forget that.
They stink.
And Dallas has some players, but they've got so many issues. I just don't see them pulling it all together. I think this division, and we haven't said this in a long, long time, but I think this division is going to come down to Philadelphia, Washington. It's going to come down to those two games. Now, the quarterback is hurt now, and I don't know I've read mixed reports now about how severe it is. Some people say he might be back in a week. Some people say it might be a couple of weeks. But as long as they've got him, they're going to be a threat. They're pretty good. They're pretty good. And I do think this division is going to come down to those two teams. I'm not dismissing it and saying, oh, it's a fluke. Ah, it's the schedule. It's this. It's that. No, I think Washington's for real. And I think that the two games that the Eagles are going to play with Washington head-to-head are going to decide the division.
Ray, we love having you on the show. Thanks for being a big part of it today, my man. We'll talk to you next week.
Always a pleasure to be with you guys. Take it easy.
You got it. The Diddy. Ray Diddy. All right, let's get reaction on all that. And, of course, most importantly, on the game yesterday and what it means about our beloved Eagles, who, Seltzer, they're our beloved Eagles again.
Thank goodness.
Thank the Lord.
Beloved?
Yeah, because you know what? They were our belittled Eagles last week. All right, let's go to Doc.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season, but this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Dr. Gina. Dr. Gina, how you been?
I'm doing better today than I would have if it wasn't the same outcome as it is. But you know what I really would have loved to ask Diddy is, like, what does he think about the fact that the Eagles, not to be a wet blanket, It's a great deal. I'm wearing Eagles gear to work today. My patients will all see, you know, I'm wearing my Eagles gear to work today. That says a lot.
Good for you.
But we can't get a third down? Like, what?
Well, I'm just telling you straight up. I mean, I'm not trying to be a wet blanket myself. I don't think Jalen's very good.
And they
I think
like the, one for 14 or one
and
for
I
13.
Think the coaches are dialing him back to protect the team. I believe that. Now, we'll know in the next 3 to 5 weeks as we see more games, but that is the shift that I believe we began to say.
We may. And thank God that we're good on fourth down, because, Rhea, what was the stat did you just say?
It was either 1 for 13 or 1 for 14 on third downs. Yeah, they were not very good on it.
That horrifies me because it means
yesterday.
Then it matters. You're reliant then way too much on the tush push. And thank God Jalen can do the tush push.
Yeah.
But you know what? It shows up in his running now that yesterday, you know, he looked so sharp yesterday. He really looked so sharp. I was so happy to see what seemed like, and I watched a little clip too, like a little reel of his hype for the team before the game. And it made me feel better, much more confident. But you know, you can't rely on fourth down all the time. You have to be able to complete a third
down.
Well,
that, and you can't rely on facing a garbage team every week, because obviously, as John pointed out, I mean, the Giants are one of the two or three worst teams in football. I mean,
I said to James when I got on, like, do I say slow your roll? You know, it was the Giants. Come on now. But I didn't want to be mean. I didn't want to be negative to start. But anyway,
all right, Gina.
The Eagles.
Good.
Have a great week, guys.
You
too. Let's hope this carries on for us all.
For sure. Gina,
thanks,
appreciate
Dr.
the phone
Gina.
Call. And look, it was a very good step in the right direction. Let's not misconstrue that. It really was. 215-592-9494. Coming up, you may have missed it. John may have missed it. John Ritchie in the WIP broadcast yesterday, Marilyn Mike. John's name came up for a very specific reason. We'll get to that.
Shotgun. Hurts. Gives it off to Barkley. He turns the corner. He's on his way. He's at the 50, the 40, the 30, the 20. Saquon! Saquon Barkley. Give it to him enough, and he will do just that.
Just an unbelievable performance by Saquon, who's off to a start. I mean, it's got to rival T.O. in 04 for the, you know, one of the best starts we've ever seen from an Eagles player who joined.
Most
you know.
Rushing yards by an Eagle through six games ever.
It's unbelievable. And I'll say, look, I'm not old enough to have seen Wilbert, but I saw the rest of the group, and I referenced to Ray Diddy. I do think Saquon's the best of that group that I've seen. Now, obviously, he's not
the
most.
He's the best I've seen.
Right?
Without a doubt. I feel incredibly confident about it.
And I love those guys. I mean, B. West, Ricky Wooders was incredible. I mean, LeSean was unbelievable.
B. West was having a field day on Twitter yesterday watching that.
What was he saying?
He was just like, he was loving it.
Good.
He was just loving all the running. It was kind of fun.
That's great. That's great. By the way, you know, I thought Kelsey had a great tweet yesterday, and it certainly echoes what I was thinking about.
I did, too. I showed it to my wife. I like this tweet so much about the Saquon stuff, right?
Yeah. All right, let me read this, and then we'll get right back to the phones. And by the way, the Merrill montage of how it sounded with that Eagles victory coming up in just the next couple of minutes. But here's something Jason Kelce tweeted yesterday. He said, "For the life of me, I don't understand why Giants fans hate Saquon for what happened and not the Giants organization for the fact that he is an Eagle. They have absolutely no one to blame other than the Giants ownership and management decisions for why he is no longer a Giant. Obviously understand their hate of the Eagles and desire for him not to succeed. Just very odd this energy is directed at him more so than the organization." I agree 1,000,000%. I mean, what a bunch of bozos the New York sports fans look like, you know, booing him and getting on his case. I mean, he gave them 37 chances, 37,000 chances to sign him long term, and they didn't want to do it. Okay.
And there's also, this is not like, we don't really know what happened behind closed doors.
Yeah.
We saw it. We know what happened.
Totally.
There is no other side here.
There's not. And look, I'll just say this. There is an argument for they were going to be so bad, why pay a running back? And I kind of get that. Then they should have traded him at some point or something. I mean, sometimes you do that. It's like, all right, we're not going anywhere with this player. Let's move on. Let's reset. Hopefully in 2 years we're good. And someone else comes in here that can help us. Okay, that's reasonable. But then get something for the guy while you have him. Don't just be a freaking idiot. All right, let's go to the phones. The Merrill montage, which is going to have a heavy focus on Saquon Barkley, that's coming up in the next 2 or 3 minutes here. You're going to love it. Great calls from Merrill and Mike yesterday with the game. Neil in North Jersey. Neil, good morning.
Gentlemen, very long time no speak. Thanks as always for taking my call. I appreciate it.
Yeah, how are you, Neil? Are you okay? Doing all right?
I'm doing well. My dad passed away a few months ago. Thank you.
Very sorry to hear that, Neil. We wish you and your family the best, my man.
Thank you. I kind of been working, you know, midnight shift and late hours, so I haven't had a chance to call the morning show. But now that I'm back to the morning hours, it's appropriate that I call the best morning show. So thanks for taking my call, as always.
It's great to hear you, Neil.
Thank you. So I think yesterday was about, you know, sometimes simplicity, like going back to first principles, really works well for a football team. And I think if you look at the Eagles, we got back to first principles of Philadelphia football, running, dominating in the trenches, running the football. And, you know, if we turn Jalen Hurts into an upper-tier game manager, that's okay. That's not necessarily a complaint or some kind of pejorative. Like, if we minimize his mistakes, we're going to win the game. And I think the key, too, is you look yesterday, we had fourth-quarter pass rush that took Daniel Jones out of the game, 5 sacks, and that allowed us to run the ball and kill clock. And I think that is the template going forward. I think last year we tried to make Jalen Hurts into a pocket passer where he's going to throw 30 times, and that's not really maximizing his skill set effectively. So I think we have the template going forward, ironically, but going back to the first principles that Philadelphia
Look, Neil, I'll say this about your theory. I think that it's both good and bad. And what I mean is I do think it helps the Eagles have a better chance to win games this year for the most part.
Agreed.
But I also think, you know, to win the Super Bowl and really be elite, normally, you need more than a game-ish manager. And I want to see Jalen improve so they can lean on him more. But I need Sirianni and Kellen Moore to be smart about it in the meantime.
They need to do a good job of helping him.
Well, the regression of Jalen Hurts is part of the issue.
No, it is the issue. It's the issue.
Right, and I think, you know, when you're paying a quarterback $40, $50 million a year, you're not paying him to be a game manager. You're expecting him to be that top-tier quarterback, So, you know, it's, like you said, it's a double-edged sword. If he minimizes mistakes and we win, it's great.
Yeah.
But we're not getting the most out of that contract that he got. And I think, you know, I think the Giants are done. I think that, you know, we get 5 sacks against that O-line. You know, they're finished. As far as Washington goes, I mean, I think they're legit. I mean, I really think this season is going to come down to a Giants-Commanders game for probably the division.
Eagles-Commanders, you meant, yeah.
Eagles-Commanders, thank you. And I think that is the real, you know, I think that's where it's going to come down to. I guess my question is this. So when we have these last 4 games, I said we had to go 4-0 against these bad teams to really sort of get on the bandwagon that the Eagles are back. Do they have to go 4-0?
No.
Or you don't think so?
No. Well, first off, they might not because, you know, they're not even favored this week because the Bengals are not bad. They may not be good, but I don't think they're bad. So let's just start with that. Look, if they go 3-1 in this stretch, they'll net out to 5-3, which, while not optimal, isn't bad. And I don't think Washington's going to run away with the division. Plus, with the 3 wild cards, I know the NFC North has all these teams above 500 right now. But with 3 wild cards, you know, 9-8 typically has a pretty good shot to get you in the postseason. Obviously, the Eagles could get to 10-7. That's not crazy talk. They could get to 11-6. So we'll see. I mean, I hope they win this week, but it's not the end of the season if they don't. All right, let's listen to how it sounded yesterday. I mean, it was an exciting victory. Not a fun first quarter, but they really cranked it up with the long Saquon run that changed the game. And then the play to me that really, really changed things was when they hit, you know, when Jalen with a tremendous throw hit A.J. Deep. That was when it's like, all right, this feels like a different day. And I did not liken the decision to go for 4th down, but it worked. Credit to Sirianni and Hurts for a great play, and AJ, of course. Let's listen to how it sounded here yesterday on WIP. We're going to need a montage.
Ooh, it takes a montage. Saquon Barkley is back at MetLife Stadium for his return after being drafted by the Giants.
Hey, we're going to do the right thing. We're going to let you hit free agency.
And coming back to play against his old team.
I'm going to have a tough time sleeping if Saquon goes to Philadelphia, I'll tell you that. As I've told you, just being up.
I just think that it becomes personal for Saquon Barkley today.
All you Wolves nightmares are about to come true.
Handoff goes inside. Barkley takes it up to the 30-yard line, a pickup of 4. The handoff goes to Barkley off the right side. He spins forward. He has a first down and more. Barkley, he turns the corner. He's on his way. He's at the 50, the 40, the 30, the 20. Saquon Barkley, give it to him enough, and he will do just that. Hurts gives it to Barkley. He pushes. He shoves. He is into the end zone. Touchdown! His 5th rushing touchdown of the season.
I'm sure they're missing Saquon Barkley here.
I mean, in a perfect world, I'd still like to have him back. I just, until we can prove that we have a decent offense without him.
Daniel's making a lot of money, and it's the fork. Like, we got to figure out is he the guy? So we got to protect him.
And the gun, Jones. He's back. He's stepping up. He's hit, and he is down. They've got him.
Sweaty.
Back for Sweat. Here comes the rush. They've got him again inside the 30-yard line, the Kobe Dean. Daniel Jones is sacked. That was Jalen Carter.
We're gonna be fine.
It is 4th down and 3. Hurts takes the snap. He's back. He steps up. He lets it go, and it is caught in for the touchdown. A.J. Brown.
When there's a question, go to A.J. Brown.
Hand off again to Barkley. He's free. He's at the 40. He's at the 30. On his feet at the 20. 15. Down to the 12. He's done it again. They'll go brotherly shove once again. They push and they shove Hurts into the end zone. Touchdown. Hurts back. Hurts looks. Hurts looks. He's going to run. He's got the first down. And he bounces off a man, but he's got the first down at the 2. He takes the snap. They push him. And he is in for the touchdown. And they are heading for the aisles.
And they are headed for the exits here.
Van Sumeren is in to play fullback. Give goes to Barkley. He breaks 2 tackles. 3. He's at the 30. He's at the 40. He's at the 45. And he carries 3 Giants to the 49-yard line. If you like blowouts, you have one to celebrate because the Eagles just ripped apart the Giants. The final score, the Eagles 28, the Giants 3.
I see my jersey getting burned. In that moment, I was ready for 3rd and 1. Let's just say that.
Tremendous victory. Tremendous victory by the Eagles, and obviously Saquon, the star of stars yesterday. He really is. I mean, he's had it if he keeps this going on all pro season. I mean, he does look like the best running back in pro football. Let's get to Ken and Sinan Minson right now. Ken, good morning.
Good morning, friends. How are you today?
Doing great, Ken.
So I want to get to the pass rush, but I just want to say two things very, very briefly. First of all, Joe, Jalen only threw the ball 14 times yesterday, and that was by design. And I don't think it was to hide him. I think that they knew that Giants run defense could be had. And guess what? The Bengals run defense could be had too, so don't be surprised if you see an awful lot of that.
Well, we'll see. Let's revisit it in the next couple of weeks, and we'll see if my theory is true or not. We'll find out.
And then just on the coaching thing, I'm not trying to take any victory laps here after beating the Giants. But, you know, there's been a lot of speculation over the last year or so about Nick Sirianni and his relationship with the players in that locker room and all this other kind of stuff, and do they respect him? And all I will say is, if you want to see a team that is not playing for their coach, all you have to do is look across the sideline at that other team yesterday. That team has clearly, clearly quit on Brian Daboll, and that's what that looks like. So we haven't seen that here, and I don't think we're going to see
that. Well, they'll be dumb if they don't hire Belichick. I mean, I don't know how else to put it. I mean, Giants fans have been hoping to get Belichick back for 30 years, and if they don't hire him, they're dumb.
So on the pass rush, we're not going to see 8 sacks every week. I don't think we are, but I can't stop looking at it in the context of things that Josh Sweat has said more than once over the last few months, towards the end of last year and into the beginning of this year, about rushing the passer as a unit rather than individual guys rushing the passer and not really playing with each other. And I think what we're seeing is the evolution of a team that is starting to grasp the concept of rushing the passer as a unit. Several of those interior sacks yesterday, several of the sacks, period, were created by edge guys getting home, forcing Daniel Jones up and in the middle of the pocket. And it really looked like a team that was rushing the passer as a unit. I mean, I'm not a big N'Kobe Dean fan. I'm not waking up this morning saying, hey, I was wrong about N'Kobe Dean. He's a stud. But look, when was the last time we've seen free runners in an Eagles defense? And we saw free runners yesterday. We saw free runners last week with Cooper DeJean. I mean, this looks to me like it's the opposite of what Josh Sweat was saying when he was talking about why they weren't getting home. I see a pass rush that's starting to evolve into a unit that's rushing the passer together. So
you could be, Ken, that's an interesting theory. You could be right, John.
It also helps that the O line was really bad.
That's right.
That their left tackle was absent. And, you know, they had to sort of try to make up for that. They were scrambling.
And Daniel Jones
stinks. The blocking was bad.
There's that, too.
Yeah.
Because you got to get the ball out fast. Like, the whole combination.
It was a bad O-line to begin with, and then they were hurt on top of it.
Yeah.
Our whole D-line looked much better. I don't know how much of that is bad Giants,
right.
How much of that is good Eagles. I know that we were better. I know that we played one of the worst O-lines out there.
Incredible. James, give me a ruling here. We were just talking about the Giants there. 5 situations in New York this morning. Rank them. Headlines. Rank them.
Well, Yankees going to the World Series is number 1, I think.
Happened 2 days ago,
that's
though.
That's true.
Okay,
that's
so the Yankees 2 days ago go to the World Series. The Mets were eliminated last night. The Giants, not only season is over, it's just the same as it's been for a decade.
Jets, obviously.
The Jets are 2-5. I think it's 2-5.
Yes.
And the Liberty win the WNBA. How do you rank them?
Oh, clearly the Liberty would be.
ESPN had that as the top
only winner.
ESPN had that as the top story.
I am
this
shocked
morning.
By that. I mean, good for the WNBA. It was a big year for the WNBA.
It was.
I think, to your point, I think the Yankees going, like, if you're a New York fan, that's what you're focused on. But to your point, it was a couple of days ago. I'll bet you it's a Mets Jets headline.
I think it's Jets.
Something
absolutely.
About the Jets and Mets. You know,
I think it's Mets, but I don't know.
I think with the Mets is, it, you know, listen, they overachieved. No, they didn't overachieve. They played really well the second half of the season.
But they did more than was expected.
They did more than, that's the point. They did more than expected. Yeah. So I don't think there's a lot of anger at them this morning. But I think that Jets, somebody had a line, and I wish I could remember, and if I think of it, but they said it's almost like the Eagles' dream team. You know, just keep adding people, and they still suck.
They do.
They fired the coach. They got Hassan in. They traded for Devon.
And they got smoked last night.
Oh, yeah,
like, it wasn't even, like, close.
They did.
Yeah.
I was watching the game, and I was like, at halftime, I'm like, yeah, I'm going to bed. This game's done.
Well, where it's really hard for some people in New York is most Mets fans are Jets fans, and most Jets fans are Mets fans.
So it's a rough morning.
Those people wake
really
up to that.
Dude, I texted. Track.
Oh, no, he's right.
No, this is a thing. Yeah. I texted all my
Yankees
Giants fans.
Yankees and Giants fans are the same.
Joe, I said, I have like Giants fans, Yankees fans, buddies. I texted them yesterday morning. I was like, today's about me. You guys don't need this, okay? You're fine. You're Yankeed up. Let us have this today.
All right, let's also get to the Twitter poll question of the day. It's brought to us by Armin Chevrolet. October is Breast Cancer Awareness Month. And at Armin Chevrolet, you'll be seeing pink all month long as they honor survivors and remember, of course, those that have passed away. We all always hope for a cure. ArminChevy.com. Today's question, and we ask you to be honest on this one. Before the play began, did you like Sirianni's decision to go for 4th-and-3 from the Eagles 41 in the second quarter? Yes or no? I did not. But it obviously worked out. It was not a high percentage pass as it was, you know, a deep ball, but it was a beautiful pass and a great play by AJ and a great throw by Jalen, and it worked. Did you like it before the play began? Yes or no? Let's talk to Drew right now. Drew, good morning.
Hey, guys. Long time. Sorry I haven't been calling.
No worries, my man.
Well,
it's all
thanks
good.
Thanks for checking in today, Drew.
Drew, actually, how dare you? How dare you?
How dare me?
How dare you not call our show more frequently?
Did Joe do something?
I mean,
no.
Seriously.
How rude.
Come on, man. What do you think? We got some also-ran show? I mean, what is this nonsense? All right, go ahead, Joe.
Okay, so, you know, as you know, I'm up here in Woodland Mountain Country in Vermont. I love seeing all these disappointed Giants fans up here, Joe. It's a wonderful day.
But Drew, I will tell you this one thing. When Fox put up the graph, I don't know if it's graphic, but they showed still shots yesterday of like, all right, so this is an Eagles-Giants game, but recently the Phillies got eliminated by the Mets and the Sixers got eliminated by the Knicks. Candidly, yesterday's Eagles game to me felt comparatively very small. But anyway, go ahead.
Yes, but you know what? It's New York sports, Joe. And as you know, I'm a Philadelphia guy just like you. We'd be Philadelphia. We'd be the New York team. It's wonderful.
It is.
It's a glorious day. Yes. It's a glorious day.
Yes.
Like I told Seltzer, I'm with you, Joe, on the whole 4th-and-3 thing in the moment. I was kind of brought me back to, you remember last year with that Monday night game against Seattle, and we needed just a couple yards to make up our first down to kick like a field goal that I think to tie it. Well, it kind of felt like that, like you need 3 yards. You don't need to go for the whole thing in the moment. But guess what? It worked, and it worked, you know?
Yeah, I mean, look, it totally worked. I'll just say the reason I didn't like it kind of played out because I didn't like it because I thought Jalen was struggling and because I think the Giants' offense stinks. So my thing was just punt, make the Giants go 90 yards. But they hit it. It's 2 weeks in a row they went for a deep shot in an unconventional spot. The other one, of course, being inside the two-minute warning the prior week. And it worked. So, Drew, one thing I hope people recognize about at least me within the show and I think the show in general, like, we're going to tell you what we think. And if we are wrong, we'll admit it. Like, Saquon's better than I thought. Period. End of story. I did think he'd be good. I did not think he'd have this left. After the injuries and the wear and tear, he is way, way more explosive than I expected.
It's almost like the Penn State days.
Oh, it's no question. Yeah. Like now I'm like, wow, if he can do this for 3 or 4 years, maybe he makes the Hall of Fame, which felt off track. You know, now I'm starting to think maybe he can be the Eagles' Marshall Faulk. I mean, Faulk was like whatever with the Colts. It was like kind of a waste of time. It was a waste of time. And then he got traded to the Rams and became one of the greatest running backs we have ever seen. And that's what I'm hoping Saquon can be with the Eagles.
Even if you want to disagree on this, Ricky Waters, even when he went to Miami, he had a couple good years.
Well, he didn't go to Miami.
Miami.
He didn't go to Miami.
He was in Seattle.
Yeah.
Or Seattle, I'm sorry.
Came back here and beat the Eagles 38-0 week
Seattle
one.
And Miami are so similar.
I don't know where that came from. Not even the University of Miami. As he was a Notre Dame player playing against the U. All right, so someone who
he played flanker.
I do know Notre that. Dame. I know.
He went from playing halfback in the wing tee.
Up here in PA, you mean? High school.
At McDevitt.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
the halfback. Which is not the featured...
The fake McDevitt.
...offensive position. That's not the... Fullback is actually the featured offensive position in the Delaware wing tee. So he was playing with a fullback named Sean Borowski, who ended up going off to college, Division One. Also. He was... Man, he was really good, though. Clearly.
Talking about Ricky or Borowski?
Ricky.
I love
clearly.
Ricky.
But... His hands were so good, and he was skinny. He was not fully grown and filled out. He was, like, slight of build. Tall guy.
Mm-hmm, I remember
like
that.
6'3", still growing when he got to Notre Dame. And so flanker, which is like Z, which is outside, whatever you call that, the small.
I remember watching that. He was a wide receiver.
I remember it
vividly. All right,
he outgrew the wide out position.
Wow. So, James, part of the reason why John knows so much about, you know, this stuff is he lived it. He played it.
Oh, yeah.
You know who knows that? Merrill and Mike. What a great catch from Wechter. I don't know how Wechter comes up with all the audio he does.
I don't either. I don't get it.
He's a maestro of audio consumption, and let's turn it around for the good of the show. So yesterday during the broadcast, you might have seen the Eagles had a linebacker playing fullback at times. Okay, all right. Merrill and Mike picked up on it, and this happened.
How long has it been since the Eagles used a fullback very often? They did use Dan Klecko. They did have John Ritchie.
We got to go back to John Ritchie to get a true fullback.
Yeah, well, Klecko was a former defensive lineman, made into a fullback.
Klecko was a little bit of a... do-it-all kind of guy, but Richie was a fullback.
Yeah. Now he's a talk show host.
There you go.
Thank you guys for noticing. Yeah. That's very cool to those fellas. Leonard Weaver was the last fullback.
He was
fullback.
Good. Wow.
He was an unbelievable fullback.
I loved him.
And that is tragic what happened.
It was.
He was an unbelievable player.
Him walking off the field or being helped off the field crying was one of the tougher things to watch as an Eagles fan.
And never recovered. That was one of those, that was it, that injury. Yeah.
We all kind of knew it, too.
Oh, there's no question. Yeah. You knew that was not. Someone else got hurt in that game. I think Jamal Jackson. I think two guys in the same game. By the way, James, I have a theory. I got a couple theories today.
You're a theory guy.
All right, here's theory number two.
You're a theorist.
I am a theorist.
Look at that. That's the word. Theory guy. Theorist. You know, that is better. Theorist. Thank you, John.
So, James, I have a theory that Merrill and Mike had John on their mind because they heard Friday when he announced he's got a girlfriend.
Ah, that's probably what it was. They were probably thinking about it all weekend.
Wanted to say that during the broadcast, but just thought, I don't know how he's going to feel about that. But he put it out. I mean,
put it out there. Yeah.
John, did you hear from people over the weekend about you now having a girlfriend? Like,
no, I hung out with.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.